Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
Need that can manifest himself to me. There's kind of a downplaying of, because there has been extremes. We know that people have become emotional and got into extremism and brought a reproach sometimes on what we call the Pentecostal movement, full gospel, spirit-filled, charismatic, any term you want to put on it. And I agree, there are abuses and there are extremes. But the Holy Spirit came to testify of him. Not just in our mind, mentally, to give us a truth, but in our spirit to reveal Jesus, amen, to us, to make him real to us. You know, it's amazing the difference when Jesus told those men in that room where they were hiding after the crucifixion for their life, timid, just absolutely disillusioned, afraid for their own life, fearful. All of them drew back and closed the door and bolted it and locked it. And the gospel, for all practical purposes, were locked in that room with them and would have never got out of that room to the world had not Jesus did something to change them after the resurrection. What he did to change them was manifest himself to them. He appeared after the resurrection in his glorified body, and he just showed up and said, "Fear not." First message he said is, "Don't be afraid." And the second thing he told them was, he said, "Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always. I'm going to be with you in a way that nothing can ever separate my presence from you." And they became bold, courageous, most of them martyrs for the sake of the gospel. And what changed them was the promise of God's presence to go with them. Now, that presence isn't just something you accept in your head. It's something that you actually experience in your heart and in your life. And I'm glad for a God today that is so real, that is so resurrected, hallelujah, from the dead, that he can live in me and he can come to me and manifest himself to me. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there is pleasure forevermore. So I want Christians to know that Jesus wants to keep his promise to you, not just by making a statement, a 2,000-year-old statement that's very true and accurate, but by manifesting himself daily in our life. When we come together, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Why? Because there is a special manifestation of the presence of God. Last week, I felt like I was going to go through the roof. Amen. I honestly felt the presence of the Lord so very, very, very strong. Sometimes when I need it the most, it seems hard to attain. And sometimes when I'm not expecting it, it comes out of nowhere. Can you say amen? But God is so very good. And I love him. We're glad that you're here this morning to worship with us and to pray earnestly that we might be sensitive enough to God's Spirit, that we might have that wonderful manifestation of him in our heart and in our life. There's nothing like it in all of the world. Just going to church doesn't take the place of having Jesus made real by the Holy Spirit in your heart and in your life. Amen. I love him. I can't see him here this morning except in you. Some of you, praise God. Many of you, most of you, I would say all of you, but that would be a stretch. But anyway, God is good, and we'll give you grace and pray that something happens before you leave this room today. And we're glad for old friends, and I don't mean that in terms of age, but just time has passed to be back with us. We're glad to have Ditter back all the way from the state of Washington. With for laziness, for lethargy, amen, for lackadociousness. If you don't want to be here, you will find a beautiful excuse for not being here. But if you want to be here, there's not a devil in hell that can keep you from coming. Just thought I'd run that by you so you know why I don't bother you, amen, because I know, and you know, I just pray the next time you are here that God will get such a grip on your heart that you wouldn't want to miss it for anything in the world. Just thought I'd run that by you. Can you say me? I said that God would get such a grip on. It's not my grip on you that keeps you coming, honey. It's God's grip on you. And if he ever gets a grip on your heart, amen, you'll want to get in his house. Praise his name. Hear his word. Hallelujah. And there's another reason. You'll want a fellowship with the brethren. We know we've passed from death to life because we go to church every Sunday. No, because we love the brethren. Hallelujah. Now, I the amen just kind of died out on this one. Amen. Loving God is pretty good, but loving each other, that's the tough stuff sometimes. Somebody said, to live with the saints above, won't that be glory? To live with the saints below, now that's a different story. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But let me tell you something about the love God wants to develop in us. There is a love. There is a love. You may not have discovered it yet, but it's in the Holy Ghost and it's there for you and me. There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. Hallelujah. My love for you and my great act of love on the cross has covered and canceled all the many sins that would have damned your soul, destroyed your life. Yea, saith the Lord. And that very love is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost. Yea, the love that held me to the cross for you is shed abroad in your heart to love others with and to love me back with, saith the Spirit of God. Somebody give him praise. Praise the Lord. Amen. Remember when we used to sing, I love you with the love of the Lord? I don't know if we really got it. If you love me with the love of the Lord, then you're going to look over my faults. You're going to pray for me when I fail. And you're going to keep on keeping on being my friend and prayer partner in spite of everything, because love is stronger than all of that other junk that could sever us and separate us. We get a church in love with God and in love with each other. That's the two great commandments that all the law hinges on. Can you say amen? Thou shalt love and thou shalt love. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind and body and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything hinges on those two. You lose those two, it don't matter what else you don't do or what else you do. I don't know if that's correct grammar, but you know what I'm talking about. Can you say amen? It doesn't really matter much anymore, because these two are the foundation for everything else in our life. And they're both love commandments. Amen? Hallelujah. So when I love you, I'm loving him. To the degree I love you, I love him. And to the degree I don't love you, I don't love him, according to the scripture. So we can sing sentimental songs about him, but we've got to show the love to them in order to really love him. Amen? Because when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it also unto me. That's how personal and how wrapped up Jesus is with his church and with his body. I guarantee you, if we just want to be together for two great reasons. Number one, because we love God. Hallelujah. And number two, because we love each other. We will become a strong, mighty body of people. Not in our bigness, but in our big heart for God and big heart for one another. And I believe God will bless us so we can grow under those conditions. How about you? You believe he would? People come in and feel the love of God flowing through us to each other and from us to them. It will make a difference in their life. I guarantee you. Hallelujah. I have loved thee with a mighty love, a strong love. A love that is stronger than life, stronger than death, stronger than any force within or without. And yea, with this love I have set my heart upon you. And yea, saith the Lord, I desire to bring you to my own heart. Yea, saith God, that you may know the love that is in my heart for you, and that that love may flow through you to others, that they may know it as well, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. His heart. Let's pray today. I want to pray today. I just feel, I don't know, I don't, every time a saint goes home, and there were things that Jerry Falwell and I would disagree on very strongly. We would have some very strong disagreements in certain areas. But one thing we both agree on, that is that there is a need for people to center on Jesus Christ as Savior, and there is a great need for a reformation, but that is born out of a revival in this nation. And I every time I hear of anyone who stood up to the media, took the ridicule, and stood on biblical principles, I just feel part of that situation, part of that great family of believers. And I hope you do too. because these people are have touched a generation. Amen. And I'm grateful for someone standing on some of the journalistic interviews and stood up for Jesus. And I appreciate that. We should magnify the good. Can you say amen? And Father, I just thank you today to be part of a great family. I thank you to be part, Lord, of that number that John saw in the book of Revelation, who have come out of every kindred, tongue, and nation, who have one thing in common that grants them the right to enter in through the gates and eat of the tree of life and drink of the river of life. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. So, Father, everyone who has washed their robe in the blood of the Lamb in order to be righteous before you, that is my brother and that is my sister. And, Father, I praise you for them, and I'm glad to be part of the growing family of God. And everyone that says that, everyone that will say amen to that said amen and amen. Are you glad to be part of a big growing family? Hallelujah. It's going to surprise some of you in this room, the people that are in heaven. Amen. Probably going to be surprising some that are not as well. But I believe there are going to be people be there that will probably shock some of us, because the blood of Jesus does a mighty work in people's lives. Amen. I want to give you this radio broadcast to put on the net and our praise music for today. We're glad you're here today. Brother Sean is going to be ministering tonight and next Sunday, because we're going to take our 44th wedding anniversary vacation. I always have to smile and remember when we talk about that, when we were taking, I think, maybe one of our 20th or something, years and years ago, when Matthew was, it wasn't even the 20th, I guess. Yeah, it might have been the 20th, because he was probably about 8 years old or 7 years old. Anyway, it's a mathematical thing, and I need my computer to figure that without counting my fingers. But we told everyone at church that we were going to take our vacation on our wedding anniversary, so that we could just have some time away, and we were going away on a romantic interlude. That's what we said, because it sounded so romantic. Doesn't that sound romantic? We're going away on a romantic, that the Bible, when it's all broken down, is a love story. Can you say amen? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a love of God for sinners. That's an incredible thing to say, that though he is a holy God that will be obligated to judge us if we die without confessing our sin, yet his love is reaching out in spite of how sinful and depraved man has become. Amen. God loves. He commendeth his love to us, in that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. That is an incredible kind of love. It's a love this world doesn't really understand or appreciate. It can't do it. We love them that love us. We do good to them that do good to us. Amen. But God loves people who doesn't love him, who sins against him and rebels against him. And while Jesus was hanging on the cross, God said, "This is the greatest way that I can commend, that I can display how I feel about fallen man, even in his sinful state." Amen. Jesus is dying. The greatest act of love that could ever be given, he is given, and he's not given it for just the good people, the nice people, the almost saved people that just need a little nudge. He said, no matter who you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you enough. I love you enough to give my son. He loves you enough to take your place. That kind of unconditional love that was given to us before we even got saved, we need to understand, when we come to Jesus, you can't earn it now that you become a Christian, because you received it while you were yet a sinner. The love that sent him to the cross was set on you from God's heart before you ever came to Jesus. Now, it can't save you unless you accept him, but the love was intact before you ever came to Jesus. He didn't start loving you when you started doing better. He loved you while you were doing bad enough to give his son. And when you accept him, then he can save you. He can cause all of that love to be consummated in your salvation. And that's the greatest joy of God. The Bible said there is joy in the presence of angels over one sinner who comes to repentance. That means the day that you got saved, it made news in heaven. Amen. And angels had to just stop and stand in awe of that event. And there was joy in the Father and joy in the Son and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because you came to know Jesus. It made news in heaven. I like that because some of your loved ones that may be up there or a friend that may be up there, praise God, hallelujah, they knew it the day that you came to Jesus. Isn't that incredible? Joy in the presence of angels over one sinner. Doesn't take a bunch of them to stop heaven on its heels and stop everything that's happening in heaven and record that great event, because that's something eternal and powerful. Praise God. Aren't you glad to know that when you got saved, heaven took notice? Praise God. God took notice. Everything stopped. God is so good today. Well, just thought I'd run all that by you and tell you, if we love God enough to be faithful to Him and we love each other enough to stay committed to one another, God can build a church out of that, and God can build a character and a life that shows forth what Jesus is all about to an unbelieving world. If we can't pull those two things off, it's going to be difficult to have a witness that is going to be respected by the world. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. I don't know if you got bumper stickers, lapel pins. I don't know what you do to try to communicate that you're a true, authentic follower of Jesus and show Jesus to the world. But Jesus said, this is how you do it. By this. It's singular. Everybody say it's singular. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Not one, just one for another, but one too. It's a love that can be seen because it's how we act. It's how we behave. It's how we treat one another. And I pray that we'll have that love that covers a multitude of sins. Amen. If you will love me and you will love one another, I will manifest my presence to you. My spirit will not be grieved. I will be able to move mightily, saith the Spirit of God. I will move to thee in the meeting of thy needs, and I will move through thee that others may know me. Yea, saith God, let me cause your heart to be filled with my love. Let me cause your heart to be a reflection of my heart. Yea, saith the Lord, that all that see may know that you are truly mine and I am thine, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. What a wonderful Lord we serve. I'm going to ask you this. We're going to pray before we go to the offering, before we go to a different message today. But God's put this on my heart, and I'm just going to ask you, is there room in your heart for more of the love of God? See, loving people you can't see, you don't know personally, loving people overseas, loving people at a distance is pretty easy to do. You can see children that are hungry and love those children from a distance. You can see people across the sea that need to know Christ and love them, because it's not up close and personal. But to love up close and personal, it's different. Can you say amen? Because you have to have the kind of love that covers the faults that we all have. And if you think you're the one that doesn't have the faults and everybody else does, and that justifies you and not flowing in that love, God want to bust your bubble this morning. Amen. The only reason we can love you is because we have to look over your faults too. Can you say amen? You're not near as lovable as you think you are, and neither am I. I used to think everybody must love Robert because Robert is so lovable. Well, I found out, number one, I'm not that lovable, except for Pamela, who loves me with blind, passionate love. And she just wipes everything aside. I'm just exaggerating anyway. God is good. He's been good to me. But He wants us to have a church here, not just a place to meet together, can you say, man, but a real, vital, vibrant church. And He wants it to be a witness to people who come in and see what we're doing here, that we have what the Bible said is essential, amen, to having that will honor God. And that's not just tongues and interpretation and accurate theology. It's a vital, vibrant love that flows constantly to one another. Amen. You know what it meant? There is a love that covers a multitude of sins. That word for that kind of love was a word for, if I took a sledgehammer and I took that hammer and I held it up like this, And it took everything that I had to hold it up, to support it because of the heaviness of it. It would take an absolute commitment of my will and my strength to do that. Amen. It's talking about committing yourself with your will and strength by faith to loving like that. It takes a real commitment to love like that. Because sometimes you're holding up something that's so heavy, the easiest thing to do is just let it fall. Can you say amen? But it takes a commitment to stand and hold. Have you ever seen any of those strongman contests where they have to hold some huge weight up until everything in them is shaking? Well, sometimes you just got to commit that to that degree. And if they wasn't committed, it don't matter how strong they are. If they wasn't committed to doing that feat of strength, there's no way. And if we're not committed to loving like this, there's no way the Holy Spirit can help us. But if we commit, I'm going to tell you what He's going to do. The Bible said the love of God, that's the kind of love that God loved you with. The love of God, amen, is shed abroad in our hearts by whom? By the Holy Ghost Himself. One of His grandest works in our life is to develop us in the love of Jesus Christ. If that happens, God, I've been in services where that love began to manifest, and I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, you can't just call Him down here by faith and have Him move. Can you say, man, you start loving one another and loving God, and I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is going to get stirred up. He gets stirred up in a condition like that. No wonder the devil fights it. How good and pleasant. Look, watch for the Holy Ghost just flowing in this statement in the Old Testament. I believe it's Psalm 33. How good and pleasant it is when the brethren dwell together in unity. What's it like? What's it like in the spirit realm when that happens? It's like the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that dripped from his beard and ran down his garment. Somebody say, God is lavish with the anointing. Hallelujah. Oh, say it again. God is lavish with the anointing. Ha ha. I will anoint your head with oil until your cup runneth over. And when your cup runs over, others are going to be blessed by the overflow. You will be not asking for a little bit of strength to help you get by each day. You will have strength to spare and strength to invest, yea, in my kingdom and my work. And you will know the meat that Jesus was eating, the spiritual meat, yea, at Jacob's well. Yea, and you will have strength that you didn't know you could possess. Yea, saith God, for I will pour my spirit out upon you. It will run down your head. It will drip upon your garments, and it will cause your cup to overflow, and your overflowing cup will touch others, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. That's what we want today. Father, as we receive this offering, I want to thank you, Lord, for an overflowing cup. I want to thank you for a lavish anointing. I want to thank you for anointing us with fresh oil. I want to thank you for a move of the Holy Ghost that doesn't just touch a few of us, but everybody in this room. And Father, I want to thank you for an effectiveness that touches others for your kingdom. In the name of Jesus, ahead of time, I give you the glory and I give you the praise. And everyone said amen and amen and amen. Out through these kind of situations where a heart really is. I'd rather be here this morning than anywhere on this planet, because today is the day the Lord has made. I came to rejoice and be glad in it, to celebrate it. I want to see a church thriving, flourishing like the date palm. Praise God. Amen. Psalm 92 said that He wants to anoint us with fresh oil so that we can flourish like the date palm. Someone told me the date palm is a 100-fold fruit bearer. Well, that would be just like something God would use, anointed in His Word, isn't it? Because if you get the Word in your heart and mine and my heart, we will bring forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And the first product of the Holy Spirit is love. It's not joy, it's not peace, goodness, meekness. That's later on down the line. The first product is love. You start losing that, you're losing ground in God. Doesn't matter if you talk in tongues. Doesn't matter if you hold a position in church. Doesn't matter how you praise Him on this platform. And the love starts breaking down for Him and the love for each other. And it's reflected in love for His house, love for His worship, love for His Word, love for one another. When love breaks down, love in all of these areas begins to break down. Can you say amen? But when love is built up Amen. It changes everything in your life. Amen. Them that love Him, when we keep His commandments out of love, and it's a love incentive for keeping His word and for obeying Him, it changes everything. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous unto him. You'll look out at Christians hearing the strong word of God, things that we're going to have to literally crucify our flesh in order to obey Him, and they're doing it with a smile on their face and joy in their heart because they love Him and they want to please Him and they want to serve Him. It changes everything when it's done out of love. Amen. If you get up in the morning and you really don't want to be here, but you come because you don't want to be shamed, you've lost your love for His house. Three amens. I'd like a little more. I said you've lost the love for His house. I'm sorry. I got to tell you forthrightly and straight, you've lost the love for His house. And it won't be long. Amen. Because, and listen, if you lose the love for God and His house, you're going to lose your love for each other. Ain't no way you can keep loving each other if you're not loving Him with your whole heart. There's no way it's going to work. And if you lose the love for one another, it's going to show in letting little things get to us. And I've had that happen in my life. I'm not going to ask you for a show of hands because I don't want to embarrass anyone this morning. But I've had it break down in my life, and I realized that my love life with the Lord was suffering. Not just my capacity to love you and to love other people, but my love for the Lord must be breaking down. Because if a man love me, he'll keep my commandments, and they won't be grievous. And this is my commandment, he said, that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, if I'm keeping His commandments and I love Him, then I got to be loving you. Because if I'm not loving you, I can't have it both ways. I can't stand up here and sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and not love you. Because if I love Him, it's got to be reflected in obedience. Joyful obedience. Everybody say joyful obedience. You can see I can't get in this sermon. I might as well close the book and just preach and teach from my heart this morning. Amen. God wants a church that's committed to Him and committed to one another. Amen. David Wilkerson, who wrote the great book, The Cross and the Switchblade, that Pat Boone played David Wilkerson in this movie production of the book, which was his actual life when he was an Assembly of God preacher, and he began to pray that God would flow through him to reach people. He pastored a church. He had a comfortable pastorate. They liked their pastor, but they were ineffective in terms of seeing any real changes. It was more or less just trying to keep the saints happy on Sunday morning. Well, we're not just together to keep the saints happy. We're here to be effective for Jesus Christ. The greatest joy of your life and mine is knowing we're part of something that is touching others for the Lord. Can you say amen? But David said, you know, sometimes, and he knew such success. He saw so many things happen in the streets of New York. He was started Teen Challenge and saw so many drug addicted people set free. That he just knew wonderful success. And yet, he said, one day, he said, I was thinking about all of the pressures of ministry, all of the problems interacting with people and having misunderstandings and all the things that a pastor or the leader of a ministry can come under in terms of burdens, circumstantial burdens. And he said, one day, he said, I was witnessing to an addict who had a joyous attitude. He knew it was synthetic. He knew there was no true peace. He knew the true condition of the heart would be destruction in the end. But he said, I compared my attitude to this person I was witnessing to and found that they actually seemed to have a better outlook on life that day than I had, and I'm the one supposed to be ministering to them. I want you to understand that Satan wants you depressed. He wants you in a hole somewhere, in a horrible pit. He wants you to be in a Christian situation where you got enough of Jesus to make you guilty and enough of the world to make you unspiritual, to where you're a Mr. In-between. He doesn't want you to be fully committed to Christ to know the real joy of a spiritual infilling. He doesn't want you to walk in a love and an anticipation of good in your life. He wants you burdened down and distracted by anything He can distract you with, because He does not want the world to see the kingdom of God in us, because He knows what they're going to see. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. That means you have a standing with God that God accepts you, amen, based on the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. The first element of the kingdom of God that the world can look and see is a people that have been accepted by God, that are standing in their standing. Righteousness doesn't mean sinless perfection. It means you have a place before the Lord where your sins have been judged in Christ and He has given you His innocence. You are right wise with God. How many in this room believe that you have been washed in the blood of Jesus and you are right with God because of that? How many, now I'm not going to ask for a show of hands again, but how many believe that you're sinlessly perfect? Well, we know better than that, don't we? None of us are. But do we have a standing with the Lord because of the blood of Jesus? Is that a license to sin? No, it is not. Paul said, what? Shall we sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. For whoever you yield your members, you're still having to make choices. Servants to obey. His servants you are who you obey, whether of God unto righteousness or sin unto death. So you literally are going to serve somebody. Can you say amen? But you do have a standing with the Lord. And every day of our life, we should rejoice, amen, in that standing that we have with God. I go to work with the full confidence that if I should have some kind of accident, if my body, my spirit left my body because of something that happened, that I would go into the presence of God. That gives me a boldness and a confidence. I am not worried about the elevated terrorism level that I see crawling across under CNN. It's been elevated ever since 9/11. We've been living with the expectancy of not if, but when it's going to happen again. And I believe God in His grace has helped this nation not for it to happen again. I honestly believe there are people praying in intercession. And I believe God has been gracious to America. I don't know what your problems are, but there are bigger events transpiring in the world that we live. And we need to let the world see the unshakable kingdom of God. There, I don't know what's going to happen to the gas prices. I don't know how it's going to affect you and me. It's affecting me right now because I think about it before I crank up and go rolling down the road. Do I really need to go rolling down the road? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And maybe I need to even slow down on the interstate and conserve a little bit. Can you say amen? Maybe I need to try to manage my time better so I'm not rushing around. But I want you to know one thing I do know, that I have a standing with the Lord. No matter what happens in this world, I have a standing with God. And the Bible said there is a profile in the Old Testament of a righteous man. It said his heart, he shall not be afraid. Listen to this, how that standing, amen, deals with fear. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings, for his heart is established. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. He has an unshakable faith in fearful times because his heart is established because of his standing with God. Can you say amen? I have a standing with God today. Amen. Listen to me. I am not alone down in this world. Amen. If God wants me to live, angels will deliver me from harm. If God wants me home, I'm ready to go. It's a win-win for me. Somebody give God glory in this room. That's what a standing of God brings you. Amen. Are you listening to me? I had cancer. I was given a death sentence. The doctor who treated me, because we had no insurance, said, wait until he is so bad that we can get him admitted on an emergency basis, not to where you can be admitted now to Tampa General if you don't have insurance. But this was the old gray-looking, something out of a Stephen King horror movie, county hospital. It's still foreboding. The last time I went in it to the mental ward to minister to someone, that place still was an old, gray, dingy-looking place. I went there to pray for people before, years ago, in the place that I would have literally lived out the rest of my days and died before my 9th birthday. Amen. Dying with leukemia. But I'm telling you, there is a wonderful place called righteousness, a standing with God. And my dad had that standing with God because he had accepted Jesus as his Savior. He wasn't special, nor was I. Amen. The only thing special about us was that standing with the Lord called righteousness. When you have a standing with the Lord, you have the right to come into His throne room, to call upon His great name in the day of trouble, in the time of trouble. Can you say amen? The Bible said through the blood of Jesus, we have access with confidence through the faith of Him. You know what it means to have access to God's very presence? That's something the priest didn't have, and only the high priest once a year. And every believer, the least of us in the kingdom, have access to the direct presence of God in the person of God Himself. It's an incredible thing. I look at Christians today that have lost the absolute glory of that you have access to God. You pray like it's no big deal. You pray over your food, you're going into the throne room. You pray for your loved ones, you're going into the throne room. You pray for your personal needs, you go into the throne room. Every time you pray, you have access, amen, by the blood of Jesus into the holiest with confidence. Sometimes you take for granted. How many are confident that God is listening when you pray? You know why you have confidence? Because you have access. What gives you access? Your sinless perfection, all of the wonderful things about you and me? No, you have access because Jesus died and shed His blood, and God granted you a position that you could no ways attain to without the blood of Jesus. Amen. So the first tenet of the kingdom of God, the first element, is righteousness. Righteousness. Right standing with God. Listen to how this affects fear. In the Old Testament, the Bible said in Isaiah, it said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. God's protection. Everybody say God's protection. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I challenge you to go back to the Old Testament and find Israel right with God and see an enemy that could defeat them. It doesn't matter. One time an enemy came up against Israel that had 1 million men on the battlefield and 300 chariots to charge and lead that battle with. To break, those chariots would be used like a spearhead, a vanguard to break through any defenses and open through that wedge for all of 1 million troops armed to the teeth to come through. And all this little Israeli army looked at 1 million men, and they looked at 300 chariots, and their hearts sank, and they went into caves and thickets, and the armies of Israel broke ranks and ran, and for their own life, they hid themselves. They knew we're no match for this. And Jonathan, who knew he had a covenant with God, he was right with God, and when Israel's right with God, you can claim covenant privilege and covenant promise. Jonathan and his armor bearer were standing there watching everybody run away. But Jonathan remembered, we're right with God. We can claim the covenant promises of God. And what is the covenant promise of God? It makes no difference to God to save by many or by few. They come out against you one way, they'll flee before you seven ways. So they said, we're right with God. We got covenant privileges. Covenant promises can be claimed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So Jonathan turns to his armor bearer and says, he said, let's go reveal ourselves to them. It may be the Lord will fight for us today. And his armor bearer said, all that is in thine heart do, for I am with thee. Listen, 1 million men are standing up there. 300 chariots are up there. And two of God's covenant boys said, it may be that God will fight. Let's go reveal ourselves. But they said, we want to know the will of God. We can't go off half-cocked. We can't go off running unless He goes before us. So we want to find out if God's going to honor His covenant today. If He's going to do it, if we stand on it, let's put a fleece out. Let's do something. Let's go, and they got the high ground. Let's go out and stand below them. And if they say, wait there, we're coming down to fight you. Amen. If they say that, then let's get out of here because we know God's not with us. But if they say, come up here to us, come up here to us, then we're going up because God is with us. And the armor bearer again said, all is in thine heart do, for I am with thee. To an agreement is a mighty thing. That's why the devil fights it tooth and toenail. Can you say amen? If two of you, Matthew 18, 19, amen, if two of you agree on earth, agree is touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be given them of my Father. That word agree is the word for harmony, to harmonize. When our hearts are knit together, the New Testament calls it one mind and one accord. When the mighty miracles were being wrought in the book of Acts, it said the disciples were of one mind and one accord. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? It wasn't just a faith issue while everybody is apart. It was a faith issue as everybody was in harmony with one another. See, that's what the devil is fighting, is this harmonizing, this homogenizing, this bringing together. Can you say amen? This purifying of the heart. Amen. Listen, when the Holy Ghost is not grieved, he's able to manifest the very power and presence of the resurrected Jesus. All that is in thine heart do, for I am with thee. So they walked down to the bottom of the hill. You know the story well, but I love to tell it. And a soldier saw them at the foot and pointed them out. And the captain came over and looked down and said, well, the Hebrews have come out of their holes. That's King James Version. The Hebrews have come out of their holes. And now they're waiting with bated breath. Are they going to come down to us to try to kill us, or going to ask us to come up and fight them? And he dispatched 20 men to kill the two that were climbing up. But the Bible said when they crested the top of the high ground, at the first slaughter, that's the word that was used, something happened, and it wasn't man's expertise with sword and spear and shield. Something supernatural happened. And these two men crested the top of that high ground. And 20 men fell dead. And whatever it was so powerful and so horrifying and terrifying that a million-man army lost heart because two men were used of God. And they turned and began to run. And they rushed away from two men standing because they realized there was an invisible supernatural force with them that they could not fight against. Can you say amen? And when you see a million men running from two, you know God is involved. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? God's got to be involved in that. See, the church wants to play down the supernatural. God says, you can't deal with me without playing up the supernatural. If he can't move supernatural in the 21st century, then he's not the God of the first century church. Can you say amen? But he is the God of the first century church. And he's the God of Genesis. And he's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Bobby, and Pamela, and George, and Patty. Can you say amen? Amen. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. That's why he healed me. My daddy was right with him. Righteousness carries privileges. He got his son, amen, that was dying of cancer and said to my mama, who wasn't even a Christian, but she did believe in God, but she wasn't a Christian, but said, take him down front. My mama grabbed me by the hand, took me down front for prayer. The man praying for me didn't have a great theological background. He didn't have a great medical background. He was a simple preacher of the gospel, but he had the supernatural touching his life. Amen. When my mother went to tell him that my son has leukemia, amen, he didn't even let her get it out of her mouth. The word of knowledge came to him. He laid hands on me immediately and he said, I rebuke the cancer that is in this boy's blood. And I commanded in the name of Jesus to leave him. Well, you can write that off to anything you want to. But I'm going to tell you what happened. The next day, amen, the boy that had to lay on the couch was running in the yard playing with my dog all day long. The next day, the yellow jaundice from hepatitis in the liver had left me and my eyes became clear and lucid. That's when I was 8 years old. I am now 60 years old. And I'm going to tell you it took good. And if Dr. Paul Menthorn were alive today, or we could access his files, here's what you would see. Amen. On a Friday, my last visit to the doctor, diagnosed with leukemia and hepatitis of the liver. Amen. On a Monday, amen, after that Friday, spontaneous remission. And what happened between those two dates was hands laid on me and a supernatural God manifesting his love and grace and power. Hallelujah. Doctors are very cautioned about acknowledging the miraculous and the supernatural, many of them. Some of them, however, will say, we've done all we can, now it's up to God. You want that kind of doctor if you can get one. Can you say amen? But the God who healed me, isn't it wonderful when the doctor has to say spontaneous remission? You know what that means? It was there, prayer was offered, and it got up and left. Spontaneously. Without anything to trigger it, make it happen. No chemotherapy, no bone marrow transplant. This is a family without insurance, and that means without hope in the medical community of that day. I'm telling you something. God did something so well. You say, Brother Venable, did he give you a bone marrow transplant? Brother Venable, did he give you a blood transfusion? Brother Venable, what did he do to attain? Listen, I don't tell him how to do things. I'm just so glad he does them. I don't know how he does them. I just know he healed me, and he healed me good. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. There's times I feel 60 and there's times I feel 20. And usually when I'm preaching is when I feel 20. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. David said, by thee, O Lord, I've run through a troop and I have jumped over a wall. Can you say amen? So here's Jonathan in his armor bearer. Here's a million men on the run because God manifested himself supernaturally. Amen. And Jonathan told his armor bearer before they went up, he said, it doesn't make any difference to God to save by many or by few. He'll honor his covenant for a righteous man or righteous men. Can you say amen? He'll honor his covenant for 1,000 that take a stand on it or 1 that takes a stand on it. Here's the good news. You might be in a church service where everybody is locked down their faith and determined not to let God move. But if you determine to let him move and stand on the covenant, God will move in your behalf in spite of them. Hallelujah. I don't come to church to gauge the atmosphere to see where everybody's coming from. I come to church to declare unto you, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Because I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what may be bringing you down. I don't know what kind of melancholy cloud is hanging over your life. But I know who hung on the cross and shed his blood. And I know you've got access to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And if you decide to get up and claim the covenant, God is going to honor you and honor his word. Listen to this. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Everybody say that means there's victory in my life. If no weapon's going to prosper, that's it. It doesn't matter what the devil does. God is going to defend me. God is going to put me over. God is going to deliver me. Amen? Amen? You can't buy that with all the money in the world. Amen? There are people look at me this morning and say, what is ailing him? What's he so excited about? Amen? Why is he getting so loud? You wanted to go to a church, didn't you, where you know, just sit there, eat your certs, look for that green lifesaver. Can you say amen? And nothing trouble you and nothing bother you. Amen. Go to a football game like that, you'd say, what a bummer. There are no fans here. If a football game act like people want church to act, amen, what a bummer it would be. No enthusiasm. The Bucks just kicked a field goal overtime, won the game, going to the Super Bowl. You really think that's the way you would do it? How many's ever been to a rock concert? I have. You're waiting on me, aren't you? Everybody waiting on me. Listen, I hit the rock concerts before I got saved. I was a Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin fan. I was hardcore, psychedelic, you know, the whole gamut. Amen. I never went to a rock concert and seen people act there like they do in church. Enthusiastic, man. It didn't matter what seats you had. Everybody's going to be standing after a while anyway, so it don't matter where you're sitting. You got to stand up to see over the people that are standing up, and everybody's going to stand up after a while. Amen. I remember seeing, Elton John down in Australia in a live concert on television, and he was singing Goodbye, Norma Jean. And he was singing about, you know, the Marilyn Monroe and her early demise. And it's kind of an anthem. And they sang it at Princess Di's funeral. It was an evening concert. And everybody took their lighters. And they took their lighters and they lit them. And here was thousands of people going like this with lighters in the crowd down in Australia. Thousands of people. You know, there's some people that if I ask you to lift your hand and give God praise in church, which is a valid biblical thing to do, lift up your hands, amen, lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting and praise to the Lord. If some people felt they'd have to do that, they would freeze up. Amen. Because to do that, I would make myself conspicuous. Honey, you're not nearly that important. Amen. If we're worshiping God, we're not going to notice you with your hand lifted. We really are. I tell my wife about, did you see somebody have a hissy fit last Sunday? She said, no, I was over there praying, worshiping God. I missed it. Amen. Well, you know, listen, folks, if there are some churches, if you did that in, amen. Listen, I've been healed of cancer. I've got a right. I've got a better right than a fan at a Bucks game to praise God this morning. I would have been dead without Jesus. I would have been lost without Jesus. The lame man that got healed, amen, of his lameness supernaturally, he ran into the temple leaping and praising God. Can you see a man running and every few steps he just jumps up into the air, runs a little bit more and jumps up into the air and says, Jesus healed me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus set me free. You know, the church needs, amen, some victories, some running, leaping, praising God type of victories again. Because God hasn't changed, but we have. Let me tell you a little secret. You can go to a seminar where the whole message is just about the force of faith and see very little result. Except tapes will be sold, and a lot of people expect to get more money and bigger houses and stuff. But let me tell you something. You go where Jesus is exalted, everything changes. The Holy Ghost manifests where that message has preeminence. Can you say amen? Jesus, where Jesus is exalted. The night I was healed, Jesus was being exalted. Can you say amen? It was all about Jesus. Hallelujah. It was all about Jesus. Can you say amen? No wonder the devil fights all of this stuff about Jesus. He don't fight religion, because religion many times is just man's philosophies of what God is all about. Jesus, in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and the Bible said he was the express image of God. Hallelujah. I look out at audiences that constantly that claim spirit-filled experiences and the full gospel and to be fully blown, authentic Christians. And I want to say, you know, there's got to be more than just your claim to that. There's got to be something in your life that says that God is with you. And righteousness provides that privilege for you. Listen to this again. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. The reason they have this privilege is because even in the old covenant, if you bring the right sacrifices, God will grant you a positional standing. Can you say amen? They were not perfected by bringing them, but they were granted a positional standing that kept judgment from coming, didn't it? And you stand against them when they had that standing in effect with God and they were walking to the best of their ability to obey Him. I'll tell you, no one could stand against them. Can you say amen? The first element of the kingdom and expression of the kingdom is righteousness. And the second, quickly, is peace. Everybody say peace. 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 If you got peace in troubled times, somebody's going to notice you and brag on your God. You're going to have an opportunity to witness if you have peace in troubled times. The Bible said to be instant in season, out of season, and be ready to give an answer to all men for the reason of the hope that is in you. Can you say amen? Why would anybody ask you why that you have joy and why you have confidence and boldness in troubled times? Now, I can go to work on a Monday, and I can get involved in my job and involved in the political talk and involved in the circumstances we're living in, and I can get bogged down with everybody else. And I can talk about how bad it is and how sad it is, and it is bad and it is sad. But I need to have something else going for me. I have a God in my life that no matter how bad and sad life gets, He promised to make a way. I don't know about the oil crisis. I don't know how far gas is going to go. I don't know how deep it's going to cut into our budgets. I know one thing. I have a God who's told me this. Because of my standing with Him, David said, I am young and now I am old, and I have never seen in my lifetime the righteous forsaken, nor his seed out begging for bread. This standing means that God fathers you. God provides for you. If there's a famine in the land that God sends as a corrective judgment, He feeds Elijah from the king's table. Not because the king gives it to him, but because the ravens go and steal it and bring it to him. Because the Bible said God commanded the ravens to feed him. Said, go down to the brook Cherith, for I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. He commanded a blessing on a meal barrel and commanded it not to go empty. And you could dip all day long out of the little in the bottom, but you could never dip it all out. He commanded the blessing on a cruse of oil. Amen. And it kept on pouring and it never emptied out. If God commands a blessing on your house, my life, your life. If He commands it, it doesn't matter what the circumstances are anymore. Can you say amen? These blessings shall... Listen, if you hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe and to do, Deuteronomy 28, and the things that I command you this day, these blessings shall come upon you, and they shall overtake you. You'll be blessed in the city. You'll be blessed in the field. You'll be blessed when you go out. You'll be blessed when you come in. Your storehouse is going to be blessed. Your children are going to be blessed. Amen. The blessing will find you, will seek you, and find you out. Come upon you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen, being right with God has privileges and promises. Never seen the righteous forsaken. So there's a peace in knowing that no matter what's going on, God is in control and God is in charge and God is for me. Can you say amen? And God is for me. God is for me. That brings peace in the time of trouble. It got so bad we had to have potluck supper here and just all break bread together. Pool our resources. We'd be just like the early church. Wouldn't be deprived. We'd be better off probably. Thank you for the hearty amen. That's what they did. Amen. The world spurned them. They just hooked up with one another and said, we're going to stand no matter what. Praise God. We're going to witness to the world that we're His followers. Came to such a love relationship, they were willing to lay down their life for one another. Can you say amen? They were literally willing to lay down their life for one another. No wonder the world took notice. Tertullian wasn't a Christian, but he was a chronicler. He was a historian. And he watched this Christian faith evolving. And Tertullian, you know what he said about the Christian faith and the followers of Jesus? He said, when they meet one another, though they have never seen one another before, when two Christians meet, they embrace each other in love as if they were family or longtime friends. Can you say amen? One of our politicians that was in a concentration camp, a prison camp in Hanoi, the Hanoi Hilton, it was called. One of the guards showed kindness, but he couldn't do it openly. He couldn't do it, or he himself would be killed for treason. They tortured these men. But one time, when a guard had done some act of kindness, and he recognized the kindness, and the guard couldn't speak or say anything for fear of someone finding out that he was a Christian. One of his guards, amazing, in the Hanoi Hilton, one of the North Vietnamese guards was Christian. But what he did, he slipped off his sandal, and in the ground, he drew with his big toe the sign of the fish, which was a universal sign in biblical times. That was a secret sign. Amen. They were so persecuted, but they would draw that sign. And then he took his foot and wiped it away. But what he said through that sign was, I'm a fellow believer in Jesus Christ. I have to serve in this army. Amen. But my heart is really the Lord's, and I'm going to show favor when I can without getting caught and getting you and me both into trouble. But when I can, I'm going to show favor to you. The Bible said, as much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men, but especially to the household of faith, or show love to all men, but especially to the household of faith. Can you say amen? Why? Because this becomes the mighty witness to the world. This makes us a body and not just a fragmented group of people that meet together under some roof on Sunday. No, we come together at the foot of the cross and we stand as one. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Peace that passes understanding. Peace with God brings the peace of God to the human heart and soul. You can't buy that with $1 billion. And then the last element, there's just three: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Say it with me, joy in the Holy Ghost. Does that mean when God comes down with His joy stick and hits you with it and you holler hallelujah and run the aisle, is that the joy in the Holy Ghost? That's definitely an expression of joy. But this is not joy in the power of God. This is a joy that comes through a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Joy in the Holy Ghost is like the joy of the Lord that's your strength in the book of Nehemiah. And God didn't hit them with a joy stick. They came back out of bondage. They reestablished the city, rebuilding the city that was burned and torn down. And Nehemiah, Ezra the high priest in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 8, he read from the book of the law, and they were pricked in their heart, and they began to weep because they'd fallen short. They were so repentant. And when God saw their hearts broken and their willingness to obey, He sent the priest out to them and told them, don't weep and don't mourn, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You're back with God. You're reconciled to God. Amen. You have a standing with Him now. You have the peace of knowing that He's for you now. Listen, now He wants you to have joy in your relationship with Him. Reconciliation is supposed to bring joy. Can you say amen? Amen? If a husband and wife have been at odds with one another and they reconcile, what happens then? Joy. 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 Amen. When God is at odds with us and we're reconciled, God enjoys our presence. We're to enjoy His presence. The joy of that relationship is your strength. Can you say amen? Joy in the Holy Ghost means that the Holy Spirit manifests Jesus and makes Him so real to you that you have the joy of fellowship with Him. Whom having not seen, listen, you love with what? What kind of love? With joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's not because of a religious philosophy that's correct in your head. That's because of a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in your heart. You love the one you haven't seen. You love Him. With what kind of love? A joy unspeakable. A love that produces unspeakable joy. Everybody say unspeakable joy. Wow. Some of you folks, I feel so sorry for you. I love you, but I pity you at the same time. It's just a religious thing. What a dead thing. Just a religious thing. If you ever encounter the living God again, amen, in a joyous love relationship. And I first, I'm going to calculate the mileage sometime. I lived in Mango, Florida. I lived where 579 intersects with 92. I lived on Kennedy Hill when 92 was the only artery between the East and West Coast. There was no interstate system. In fact, this 579 was a dirt road. We saw rattlesnakes and copperheads, and we saw coral snakes, and we saw bobcats, and we heard of a black bear up in the woods somewhere, and maybe even a panther. We saw fox. I mean, we saw them cross the road. You know, I mean, we were in the woods back then. But when I started dating Pamela or seeing Pamela, amen, she was in junior high and I was in sophomore in high school. She was in junior high school. They lived in Brandon. And I don't mean downtown Brandon, but I mean out Highway 60 past the last stoplight somewhere before you get to Valrico. There was a subdivision that's still called Brandon. They lived back in that subdivision. So what did I do? I met her at her school. Got on her school bus, rode home with her, you know, spent time with her, you know, much as I could. And then when it started getting dark, I started walking home. And I thought nothing of walking. from way down Highway, you may not know where this is, but way down Highway 60, all the way down to Parsons Avenue in Brandon, down Parsons Avenue to 574, down 574 to 579. Amen. Sometimes I would go down Kingsway, one of the roads, and I would cut through an orange grove. Amen. And by the time I was going through the orange grove, it was dark. And I'm walking through an orange grove in the dark, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I've been walking for miles. Amen. Are you hearing me? It's dark. The sun is down. I'm still walking. Sometimes people would give me a ride. Sometimes they wouldn't. Most of the time, I walked a lot of time. And I walked all the way home. It took a long time to get home from Pamela's house. Why in the world would I put myself out like that? Why would I walk like that? You ever hear the song? I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more. Well, that was about me. Can you say amen? It seemed like 500 miles before it was over. Love is powerful stuff. Love is powerful stuff. Say it with me. Love is powerful stuff. Can you say amen? Why did they die for Jesus like they did? Why didn't they recant? Why didn't they take the easy way out? Because they had fallen in love with Him. Can you say amen? There was joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy of a real, tangible relationship with God. A love relationship. Love believes all things, bears all things, endures all things. Love never fails and love never ends. You love God, you're going to love His house. You love God, you're going to love His Word. You love God, you're going to love His worship. And if you love God, you're going to love His people. It's that simple. If you don't love God, He's not going to just threaten you and say, "You better love me, Mike." He wants you to understand how much He loves you and reciprocate. We love Him because He took the initiative. He first loved us. 44 years we've been married. We're in love. It's good to still be in love. I've been serving the Lord since I was young. I fell away when I went into junior high school, but I came back shortly after Pamela and I got married. 21, going on 22, I made a full-blown commitment to Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And I wouldn't take anything for Him. I wouldn't trade anyone for Him. I could not live literally without Him. I would be on something if I didn't have Jesus. So I'm not pointing a condemning finger. I'm just telling people there's a better way of life that won't let you down and tear you up and destroy you. It'll help you and lift you up. And it's not in religion per se, but it's in a relationship with God where Jesus Christ is your Savior, your friend, your confidant. Amen. There's righteousness in this kingdom. There's peace in this kingdom. And there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? There's a relationship with God. Sometimes I sit at my computer and I'm looking at different things and to preach about and getting information to use as statistics and what have you. And I just put on the praise music and sometimes a song will hit a chord in my heart. And I have to stop everything and just soak it in. And just sit there with the Lord and say, "Lord, I love You. I wish I could play like that. If I could play like that, nobody would have to coax me. It would never be a job." Some musicians go to church because it's their job. Can you say amen? Oh, it would be a joy. Hey, amen. If I could pick up a guitar, I'd play for the Lord. Man, I would want a wah-wah pedal. I'd have to have me a wah-wah pedal. Because there would be points in the song I'm just going to go, "Wah!" Hey, amen. I'm serious. I'd want to tell Him, "I love You. Listen, Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. How much You love me, Robert? I love You, Lord. I love You enough to do anything I can to show You." Oh, if I could play a drum. You don't want to ever hear me try. One night I thought I was anointed and I was going to try. Dear Lord, what a mess it was. And I found out that God didn't anoint me to even praise Him on one. Praise God. But if I could, honey, I would beat that sucker. Can you say, man? We'd have to buy a new drum set every 6 months. I'd put pock marks in it. Amen. I'd do something to hurt it. I'm sure that I would. Can you say, man? Because there's times I feel like slamming something just to say, "Lord, I love You." I'm not exaggerating. You've been here when it happened. Amen. Last Sunday, I felt like everything. everything in me, amen, was just lifting out in praise. Oh, I felt like my lungs were just going to come clean up out of my mouth, hollering praises to the Lord. Amen. I'm serious. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you other things that I thought may come out, but I'm not going there. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, but I felt so gloriously exhilarated. I know this is not about feelings, but the Holy Ghost manifested Jesus to me. I wasn't over here having a little, you know, liver shiver of my own, getting my little blessing. I felt Jesus so near, so gloriously manifest in this room. I wanted to praise Him with everything I had and then some. Love the Lord with all your heart. Love the Lord with all your mind. Love the Lord with all your soul, and love the Lord with all of your strength. How did David dance before the Lord? How did he do it, I ask you? The Bible said he danced with some of his mind. He danced while trying to maintain decorum. He danced while trying to follow protocol. No, he took off his royal garments, pulled his robe up, stuffed it in his belt, and danced before the Lord with all of his might, and God honored his praise because it was genuine, authentic, and real. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Righteousness is yours, peace is yours, and joy in the Holy Ghost is available to every child of God this morning. And it doesn't matter if you're Baptist or Methodist or whatever your tag is, this is about the kingdom, not denominational structure. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I remember Pamela getting on that school bus the next day, and not even thinking about the long walk home, but just thinking about spending time with this person that I fell in love with. It just didn't matter about the long walk home. What mattered was the precious time that we would have with one another. We were like those monkeys you see in the store with their arms interlaced around Valentine's Day. And we were inseparable friends and lovers. Yeah, we were young, but we were. I never thought about that long walk home. I don't to this day, because love doesn't count the cost. Hallelujah. If you let the first love get renewed in you, you will serve me like you did at the beginning. Your heart will be so filled. Yea, you will be such a witness for me, saith the Lord. Others will see in your heart, in your face, your countenance, your eyes, and the way that you serve me. Others will see and sense your love for me. And they will know that I am real. That I am real, saith the Lord. Yea, that you are not just a religious person, but that you have a genuine relationship with the God of the universe. Yea, saith God, and that I have a genuine relationship with you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Somebody give Him praise in this room. There's no God like our God. There's no message like the gospel of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? I'm going to ask, is there anyone in this room you don't know Jesus, you would like to know Him? I'm going to ask you to respond quickly if He's touching your heart, just to lift your hand before we go any further in this service. I need to know Christ as my personal Savior. If I died today, I'm not ready to meet Him. All of that love that was given to me and for me at the cross would be in vain because I refused the invitation to come to Him. So I want to know Him. Anyone in this room, I want to know Christ as my Savior. Anyone in this room? Second question then, I'm going to ask you today. How many Christians in this room believe that you can have the capacity in your heart to love God even more? How many want to love Him even more? To reciprocate love back to Him? Because He loved you so wonderfully. How many will know that and understand? I want you to get this clear, that that involves His house and His work. Church is not man's idea. This is God's. Forsake not assembling yourself together. It's not the pastor trying to get us to come together. This is God speaking to every one of His children. We're in the last days, and the Bible said we should be more concerned about this now than we ever were. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. My boss man at work is leaving. I hate to see him go. My direct foreman, there's others, but he's the one I answer to and schedules me. And his name is Tony. Tony is from Jamaica. And Tony is always talking about getting as clean as we possibly can. And he's into cleaning. And Tony is a Christian. Tony loves the Lord. And Tony come in and Tony says, I have turned in my resignation because I've got a better job in Fort Myers. My wife got a better job and someone called me. I didn't call someone. Someone called me and offered me a better job also in Fort Myers. So Wednesday will be my last day this coming week. And everybody was just so down because he had been a good, reliable, equitable foreman. Treated everybody with respect. He's a good man. Tony was leaving us, and there's a selfish part of this. We don't know who we're going to get, you know. And it makes you appreciate him when he's going because you don't know what you're going to get, but you begin to appreciate what you had. Suddenly, you're aware we're losing a good guy here. You know, and Tony says, Rev, tell them, this is not just a good thing for me, this is a God thing. And I said, the steps of a good man, Tony, are ordered of the Lord. See, that's a privilege of right standing. That means having your life directed by God, blessed by God, supported by God, sustained by God. Amen. Being a righteous man is a mighty thing. A righteous woman is a mighty thing. Hallelujah. You're in a glorious, unshakable kingdom which cannot be moved no matter what shakes around us. This is an unshakable kingdom. Hallelujah. If God has to stretch your budget, if God has to stretch your groceries, if God has to stretch your gas, whatever, if God has to give you some wisdom answer of how to conserve, He's going to give it to you. He's going to show it to you. God is committed, amen, to taking care of His children. Can you say amen? And I just rejoice in Him and thank Him. There's no God like our God this morning. Let's worship Him in this great song. You can leave when you're ready. I want to thank you for coming today. Amen. How many will come back when you can? I'm not looking to see. I'm just asking for your